Welcome to another episode of Free Basketball, March Madness edition. Bam, 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 bam. Okay, I'm done. I'm bringing on a former co-host who you have heard frequently on the Grizz 901. Daniel Greer is finally back, I think, for the first time since we moved over to Grizz Lead. So, Daniel, it's awful to see you.
First time I'm being invited. Let's just be crystal clear with that. I'm excited though. I love the I love bracket time. I love March Madness.
Yeah. So. And I, like I said on the previous one with Brandon, if you listen to that one, thank you. And you're still listening to this one, God bless you. You're a saint. You're basically like Sister Jean, if you're still listening to this. Daniel is a Dukie. Like, yep. He loves Duke. And of course, Brandon, like you heard, is a Memphis guy. And unfortunately, Brandon got the draw with Memphis. Hmm. So Daniel doesn't get to talk about Duke, although I have a gut feeling that there's going to be a mention at some point. Because today we are going to talk about the other two regions, the West region and the South region. And at the end, we're going to talk about kind of our champions, who we think that have a realistic shot to win the title, what we're looking for in those teams, maybe who has the easiest path, and if there's any going to be surprises this year. So before we get started, I guess, well, let's just jump right into it. I don't want to do a bunch of background stuff. I don't want to keep you forever. So let's start in the West first off. So you heard it from before. We're going each matchup. If we say a byline about the team or something that interests us, then we'll go a little more deep into that. But I have a feeling there's not a whole lot of interest in this 116 matchup, the Kansas Jayhawks and Howard, I believe it's Bisons.
Sure.
Who do you have between these two, Daniel? Do I have to ask?
Not Howard. I'm going to go with the team that's favored by 21.5. I'm going to go with Kansas here.
No fan of Howard covering that number with Kansas dealing with some injury and their coach needing a stint, multiple stints?
I'm going to pass.
Maybe the wrong word to use with Bill Self and the stints he had to put in.
Wow.
The 8-9, Arkansas, Illinois. Who you've got in this matchup?
All right, so this is the main game that I have seen differ on a lot of people's brackets, but also just kind of the number has moved. The number opened at 3, favoring Arkansas, and is now down, as we're recording this, to -1.5. Still favoring Arkansas. Illinois has a tough team. I think they play in the better conference.
Mm.
I don't know which way to go on this. So because of that, I went with my gut feeling, sure. And I went with Illinois here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, this is where we're going to differ, because I think Arkansas is better.
Okay.
Now, I think this game is awesome. Awesome. Let me put that in parentheses. Both teams suck. But because they're both so bad and even, that it's going to make a really exciting game.
Okay.
But I believe actually in Nick Smith Jr., Anthony Black, I like the guards for Arkansas better. Illinois is just so wildly inconsistent for me that and it doesn't matter for me either way. They're not going to beat Kansas for me. But I just, like, I'm not going to pick Matthew Meyer to win another round. Like, I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm not a big fan of Terrence Shannon, Texas Tech transfer. So I just like Arkansas and Musselman better, because I think they actually have a better shot to make it a game with Kansas than what Illinois would be.
Yeah, I agree with that actually as well. But just looking over it, Arkansas has lost 4 of the last 5. Illinois has lost 3 of the last 4, both going down the stretch, both very much limping in. The Illinois, right, they have actually won the last 2 first round matchups, like not against Arkansas, but in the tournament. Okay.
Yeah.
So they have won their first weekend game the last two years. And so I'm going to go with that. And that's the main reason. I think the Big Ten is probably better than the SEC personally, just overall. And so just kind of looking over all the numbers and everything, one, Arkansas has a record of 2-8 versus the top 25. And it doesn't get much better, but Illinois is 5-4. And so I like teams that beat better teams instead of cupcakes. And so that's why I chose Illinois.
Gotcha. I like it. The 5-12, everybody's sexy pick. Everybody, well, maybe not everybody's picking this, but I think a lot of people are starting to ride the steam train of VCU over St. Mary's. Everybody's favorite is 512. Are you a believer in that, or are you a believer in the St. Mary's team?
There's been a lot of news about trains derailing as of recently. I'm going to say that train derails, and we're going to go with the St. Mary's right here. They're favored by four for a reason. They're going to cash this.
Yeah, I don't really get the hype with VCU. Now, this is an ugly game. Anything could happen when you play at the pace that St. Mary's plays with. But I agree. I have St. Mary's here. The 413, UConn, Iona. Are you more interested by this one? As so upset potential.
Yeah, Iona is sneaky. I would be better if they were Ione. So I'm just going to call them Ione from here on out. Ione is sneaky, right? They're a very good team. They haven't played anybody in the top 25 all year. I have a lot of faith in this UConn team. And so I'm going to go ahead and back UConn here.
I like it. I agree. 6-11. Now, I guess we should pick the 11 first to play in Arizona State and Nevada.
Man, I'd say I trust Nevada more, maybe.
Ooh, thank God you said that, because I hate Bobby Hurley. Now, That's not a Duke thing. That has nothing to do with Duke as the player. He is my least favorite coach in college basketball. I cannot stand him. So I've got Nevada here, too.
Well, weirdly enough, the only play I have on this is an over on the game. And so if I was to pick anything, I'm going over 133.5. So take it to the bank.
Yeah, I like that one. Now, to continue on, Nevada plays TCU. I know you have a little connection with TCU now. What do you got here?
I'm going to go with TCU outright. I think that they are the better team. Nevada does scare me, and TCU hasn't been playing so great, especially down the stretch, 4-6 in the last 10. But I have to trust that TCU coach Jamie Dixon is going to lead them to a victory here in first round.
Yeah, I would have picked TCU to go far in this tournament if it wasn't potentially Gonzaga in round two. Now, I thought TCU should and could have beaten Arizona in the eighth seed or the ninth seed, whichever one they were last year when Arizona was the one seed. But Arizona happened to have a top 10 NBA draft pick on their team that hit a clutch three, right? I would like TCU to go farther. I love Mike Miles Jr., but I saw that their big man that I love, that Lumpkin, Eddie, I can't remember his name. I should have looked up his name. Lumpkin, whatever it is. He's in the transfer portal. So
yes,
that hurts me a little bit because he would have been a great matchup with Timmy. And now TCU is now a bunch of undersized forwards and Mike Miles Jr. Now, I still love them because they're scrappy or whatever. Their ceiling has fallen down for me now, where I would have had them in the Elite Eight because they lost to Mike Miles for a stretch during the season, which really hurt them. I think they lost 4 games in a row because of it. But before that, they were like a top 10 team. So they have the caliber of that. But now they don't have the center that I think is an anchor that you need.
Yeah.
Against specific matchups in March Madness. And unfortunately, they drew Gonzaga in round two. If Gonzaga wins, you know, right? But I like TCU, and I would have picked them far if I didn't see that kid was in the transfer portal. So that sucks. But the 314 Gonzaga Grand Canyon, do you think Grand Canyon can actually do this?
I don't. Okay. Gonzaga's favored by 15.5. I'm going to go Zags all the way.
Yeah. A lot of these matchups, I was talking this with Brandon, and maybe we'll kind of do this as an aside right quick as like a little small little thing. But I know everybody is saying that this tournament is wide open this year. Anybody can win. And I think that is true through seeds 1 through 4. I do not, like, there could be a 7 seed that sneaks in the final 4, Elite 8, something like that. That happens every year. but I do not see it wide open to where all of a sudden an 8 seed is making national championship. I just don't see that when I'm looking at these teams. And the reason being is that if you paid attention to conference tournaments at all of the upsets were done in conference tournaments. And there's multiple 5 seeds, like Grand Canyon, I believe, was a 5 seed that won this league. SEMO, who's in the tournament, was a 10 seed or an 8 seed that's in this league. Penn State made the finals of the Big Ten as a 10 seed. So I just think all the upsets were done in the conference tournaments, which has weakened the mid-major field for these upsets. And I don't think people are paying attention to that at all. So instead of being, you know, Southern Miss, who was the top of their conference, I wish I remember what it is. Like, it's whatever five seed came out of that conference that just made it, or eight seed that made it out of that conference. So I just think the upset field is weaker, where I just don't think we're going to see a ton of them at all. And I just, it's wide open, sure, for probably 15 teams. It's wide open, but I just don't think there's a, like last year with St. Peter's, I just do not find this team this year. That's what I say. Do you kind of feel the same when you're looking at your brackets? Does it feel mostly chalk for you?
Yeah, it was a little chalky for me. There was a few upsets that I liked just out of matchup wise, but for the most part, I think it's going to, I think it's kind of flipped on its head a little bit where it's a little bit more chalky early. But I think it's going to go a little bit crazier second round for the simple fact that, yes, you're going to see some of these teams that win. But I think second round, these teams are much closer and so on within the tournament. Usually the first round is like upset city, and then the next game they just get blown out, right? Yeah. Well, I think you're going to see more of these teams play better this first round because I think there is a separation of how good these teams really are. But I think that that's just because of the floor. I think the ceiling could be higher for some of these other teams. And I think that the second round is going to be much more fun than the first round this year.
Yeah. Yeah. I completely agree with that. It's, and here's the thing is when you're talking about it, cause we like gambling,
right?
Upsets as in actually pulling off the win. Hmm. I could see teams covering all over the board.
Right.
I have a hard time seeing a lot of these teams covering these spreads. I just do because of how inconsistent they are and they're not as strong, but I just have a hard time finding the actual wins from a lot of these teams. So I'm going to be playing a lot of dogs, but I'm not going to have a lot of actually money line dogs. Right. that makes sense to anybody out there. But to kind of round out this first round right here, we got the 7-10. Boy, the committee got this one right. Northwestern, Boise State. Ugh. Who you got in this one?
Weirdly enough, I think this could actually be a good game. Both
it
these
should
teams
be because both teams are garbage.
Yeah, both teams are garbage. They're not great. They do both have a decent net rating on here. So I'm going to go ahead and ride with Boise State, weirdly enough. I didn't like it. It didn't feel good. Kind of felt dirty, but I went with it.
That's who I picked in mind, too, because Northwestern, I'm just not going to root for one player that Northwestern has. His name is Boo Booey. Just not going to do it. like my kids love Bluey. Whose kids don't love Bluey? I'm not going to root for a character that's close to Bluey. I have enough Bluey in my life. The 215 UCLA, UNC Asheville. They're starting to get a little buzz about UNC Asheville here. Got a couple of players who can hoop a little bit. UCLA down, you know, Jalen Clark, who I sent to you probably a month or two ago. Yeah. Grizzlies might target in the draft this year. But he ruptured his Achilles, I believe. I think I saw that. He's done. So he's their best defensive player. Like, they're the best defense in the country. Does it show up here in 215? Do they struggle?
Yeah, I think there's some struggle midway. I don't know about too much too early or too late, but I think there is some kind of struggle just for the simple fact that, you know, they're scoring 75 points a game, Asheville is. And so I like that they can score, but against a defensive team, that's really your biggest issue is you can score. The other team's really good at defending. I'm going to take the 5 stars and the 4 stars over UNC Asheville. I think UCLA wins this.
Okay. I agree with you there. Next, let's get to the second round, which you have 1 Kansas versus 9 Illinois.
Yep.
What are you thinking on this one?
I think Kansas, Illinois is trash, but somebody had to win the last one.
Next one, the 5 St. Mary's versus the 4. Still chalk versus UConn?
So I really like UConn. I really do. And I don't love that I do. And I really thought a Cinderella team could be St. Mary's for the simple fact that they can guard, but they have the Gonzaga effect. They have a high floor, low ceiling, right? Yeah. So they're not going to really beat themselves, but they're going to beat you if you make mistakes. I just think this UConn team is just much better.
Yeah, I agree. I've got UConn here. TCU versus Gonzaga. This one hurts my heart.
It does hurt, but I like Gonzaga. Same thing for St. Mary's. I just said high floor, low ceiling. Drew Timmy can only take you so far, but in college, Drew Timmy can take you far.
Yeah. If they had that big there, wasn't in the transfer portal, I'm 100% taking TCU. But I can't do it without him. Sorry. Yeah. Love Mike Miles. I hate for it to end early, but I got to go Gonzaga here too. UCLA versus the 10 seed, the Boise State Broncos. Yeah.
Yep. Broncos. Don't love Boise State at all. Just like them more than Northwestern. But UCLA is, they're just good enough, right? I think that, was it Jaquez? Jaime Jaquez?
Yeah.
He'll win them another game. He'll be fine. Get out of the first weekend.
Sweet 16 here. Kansas versus UConn.
I like this UConn.
Okay. I like it.
I
have had mix of both.
Okay.
I've done probably six brackets, and I would say they're 50-50, Kansas here and UConn.
Mm.
They're like, Kansas is back-to-back years where the path is simple, right? Yeah. That's the same thing I would have said for UCLA, is this path is simple to Sweet 16, and then they run into Gonzaga, and they don't have Jalen Clark. So we're big path people, and we'll talk about that here in a little bit, probably more in depth. But the path is very easy for it to be Kansas, UConn. And I'm worried about UConn be able to shoot the three. I think they have the size to match. They have the speed. They have the guard play. I'm worried about the clutch factor because every moment that I've seen UConn in a close game, they haven't been able to come through. Now their coach has also failed in the first two rounds. I don't think they've made a Sweet 16 with him yet. Last year they lost to New Mexico State in the first round. And the year before, I think they lost in the second round, but there's something with the coaching. It's another Hurley. Now I like him. He's a better Hurley. And I like UConn a lot, but UConn Kansas is a great matchup. It's just kind of about injuries, right? Like, is Bill Self going to be back? Is McCullough going to be injured? Like, what's going on with this team? Kansas is kind of undersized, but I like their guards that have been there before. And I think they're just a little more clutch than what UConn is. But I can see either way. So I like it.
Yeah, I definitely, the game can flip for sure. I just think that the healthier team right now is UConn. Obviously, there's a long way to go until they actually do meet.
Yeah,
but the path much easier for Kansas. You know, you're beating a Howard and then an Arkansas or Illinois. Like, I feel good about that.
Yeah,
but UConn having to be either, you know, Iona or Ione, and St. Mary's or VCU is a little bit tougher.
Yeah, and also the location is probably interesting. The Sweet 16 game between them will be in Vegas, so it's not like there's really a big advantage. I mean, UConn has the farther way to travel, just an extra hour, but you probably just traveled over there. As soon as you won the second round anyways, they play first round in Albany, New York, and then have to travel over. Kansas is right there in Des Moines, Iowa, and just travel over to Vegas. So I don't think there'll be too much like a travel disadvantage. So I really like that matchup. It was a good matchup. But the second one, an even better one, Gonzaga, UCLA. What do you like in this one?
I like Gonzaga. I really do. I think they're a team that owes UCLA a little bit, right? And so I think that's, you're talking about a guy who, and Drew Timmy, that's been there. And I think that this team is much better than UCLA. And I think as long as Gonzaga can score, I feel good about them with the, I guess it is an upset here over UCLA.
Yeah, it's interesting contrast of styles, right? UCLA slow, plotting. Gonzaga's up and down. But I agree. Without Jalen Clark, Amari Bailey has really come on for UCLA. The problem is Mick Cronin is such an old school coach. Like, you watched it in the Pac-12 championship against Arizona. he had to play a big. Like, I get it. Like, it's Balo, it's Tabellis. Like, you got to have somebody in there actually rebound. But whenever those bigs were in trouble, which was the entire game, and they had to go small, it's what kept them afloat because it forced Balo and Tabellis to get out of the paint and guard the perimeter. And then as soon as they would build a couple points, he put a big right back in to foul out immediately. But that's my kind of thing. Gonzaga is more guards. UCLA is always trying to match people. So I don't know if maybe Gonzaga being more forwards and guards actually benefits UCLA because they can match up that way and not play as many centers. But they do have, you know, potential draft pick Bona, who's supposed to be coming back from shoulder. He's going to be key for them, but it's a great matchup. And I like Gonzaga. I find myself more and more as I look at more brackets, I'm leaning Gonzaga. And now you've got your Elite Eight here. UConn, Gonzaga. What do you got here? Does the magic, I mean, it's not really magic. It's a 4 versus 3.
Right.
But does the who do you got? The 4 or the 3 seed?
So I went back and forth on this because I do love Gonzaga, but I'm going to go with UConn here.
Okay.
Which is probably not the best matchup for them being with Drew Timmy. But what I will say is I don't think Gonzaga is very good defensively at all. And right. I think that the better defensive team is UConn. And I think that they can also score if allowed to. And so I think they're going to be able to run with them if they need to. I think they can get to the front of the rim. And I think that they have enough people they can run at, you know, Drew Timmy to kind of slow him down to where they could keep this within, honestly, the mid-60s to where you maybe you get to the 70s, but it's not going to be up into the 80s. And so I think this is a game that they can play easily into the 70s and you win whatever that score might be.
Yeah, the hardest time I have with this is just the shooting with UConn. Is it going to show up? Because everybody loses in conference. Like, I think that's the thing people overlook when they watch conference tournaments and are like, he's struggling against this team. They're struggling against that team, blah, blah, blah. Like, conference opponents know each other extremely well.
Right.
Like, they've been playing against each other for years. They know the coach's tendencies. Like, when you get to a tournament, it's completely foreign. You don't know a player's tendencies. And that's why I think UConn did so well at the beginning of the season. Like, they beat Alabama.
Yeah.
Like, people forget about that. And they beat Alabama by 15. Like, they have really nice wins and a really nice resume. It's just kind of like, are their guards going to come through? That's the thing that I'm worried about with UConn. But I like the pick, which I think Brandon had Marquette in one of the other ones. So are we talking about two Big East teams in the Final Four here? Woo!
Wow.
That could be interesting. Now, I'll get your own personal Final Four at the end here. But let's switch over to the South. This is another one where I didn't write the 16 seed down going against Alabama. And that's the winner of the play-in, Texas A&M Corpus Christi. I guess I got lunch on the brain. Get that crispy chicken sandwich. Corpus Christi and SEMO, Southeast Missouri. I assume you have Bama? Or do we even have to pick
SEMO?
The 16 play-in?
SEMO plan? I actually watched them in person this year, weirdly enough, against Purdue-Fort Wayne, and Purdue-Fort Wayne beat them. SEMO is terrible. Alabama, by a million. I don't even know the line. I haven't even looked at it. So I guess it's not out yet because they haven't played.
They have to win, yeah.
It's going to be a 24.5. I guarantee 24.5 or higher line.
You would assume so, yeah. The 8-9, which is one of my – this is probably my favorite 8-9, Maryland, West Virginia.
Yeah, so I actually have seen this line kind of stay pretty consistent, and that was – I was curious of that because West Virginia came out, I think, 2.5-point favorites, and now they're a 2-point favorite roughly. I like West Virginia. I just think that their zone and whatever they run kind of defense, it's crazy. I love it. I'm going to go ahead and go West Virginia here.
Yeah, I agree. I love the matchup, though. It's a great matchup. 5-12, San Diego State, Charleston. Are you right? Big Charleston fan?
Big Charleston hear fan. It? I'm going to go ahead and go College of Charleston over San Diego State with the upset.
What is it about Charleston that you like, or is it just a bias against San Diego State?
I don't think San Diego State's good. Yeah. I just don't. And I think that College Charleston can score. And I think that's the biggest thing you have to have is a team that can score. And I think that it's going to be a little up and down, even though, you know, I don't know. I just love an underdog. And I think that they're playing with momentum and with a team that isn't very good in San Diego State. I don't know. For whatever reason, this is one of my upsets that I just love.
Yeah, I think I've picked it in every one of mine too. 4-13 Virginia Furman. I have a love for Furman.
What's your yours?
I actually picked Virginia.
Okay, same.
The reason being, Furman is very thin. Now they have this white post player who you're gonna love. He's not because he's white, but it's unexpected. Okay. He looks like probably somebody who's at work with you right now. Weird hair, or not weird hair, but like kind of moppy hair, beard, tall, lanky, and he's like a do everything big man, and he does like the dribble handoffs like Steven Adams, and you know, rebounds and passes out. He'll shoot a three if he's wide open. He doesn't want to, but he does everything else for him. I think his name's like Hine or something like that. But they have really nice guards and Pegs Slauson. And or Slauson's like a stretch four kind of player, and then Bothwell. So they have two players that score 16 plus points per game, I believe, in Slauson and Bothwell. The only thing about Furman that I don't like, I don't shoot the three very well. And Slauson, I have watched him multiple times. He can really get in his own head emotionally. And Virginia, if you are emotionally unstable, which is probably, I shouldn't say that about him, but if you can get in an emotional state, Virginia is the wrong team to play for you, because they will frustrate the absolutely living crap out of you. The other thing is Slauson gets in foul trouble regularly. And they've got, Virginia's got Gardner, 6'6" post, who's going to be trying to take him. So I think Furman can be in the game. This is one of my favorite spread bets, dog spread bets. Furman can be in the game. If you told me Slauson is not in foul trouble and missing large chunk of time, I think that Furman could win. I just think he's going to be in foul trouble, and that's ultimately where the final spread is going to be for Virginia.
Yeah.
Is that kind of how you see it for you, or just?
Yeah. Just looking at it, like Furman averages 82.1 points per game. Like, that's a large, large number. One of the highest scoring teams in America. And then you're going on the other side of 67.8 points per game with Virginia. They only allow 60. So something's got to give. Like, who is the dominant team that actually shows their will and who controls the game? And I think that's what it's going to come down to. If for some reason Furman comes out and they can start run away a little bit, this is going to be a tough hill to climb for Virginia, because they are not an offensive team. But I think that you're going to see a very slow and plodding game early. I think this is a good game for going on the under potentially. I don't even know what the line is, but I think Virginia will completely put the brakes on this game as much as they can. And at that point, there's, you know, you can't get into a rhythm if you're Furman. So if they can get away early, I think that they have a chance to get this game. But man, if they don't, I think this is a stay away, because I think Virginia can just clamp them up and it's over.
Yeah, this is like the kind of matchup we're looking for, right? The differing styles. Which one will prevail? The 6-11, Creighton, North Carolina State, which I think is more similar teams than people probably assume.
Yeah.
But do you think NC State kind of limping in? Do you think they could actually pull this off, or is Creighton the team for you?
I do not like Creighton, and I have just not loved picking them. I did pick them, but I do not love it. And for the simple fact that NC State, like you just said, they're limping in, they're not playing great. But we both love me now, you know, you've always loved Tre'Quavion Smith, but they just have not played well as of late. Yeah. And so the ACC is down. It hasn't been great this year. And the fact that this is a Creighton team who has kind of proven a little bit, I think that Creighton wins this, but I don't, for whatever reason, I can't fall in love with Creighton.
Yeah. I don't blame you. Creighton is a If there was a Cinderella team, like we're talking about the next matchup with Baylor, USCB, like Creighton could easily make the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
If they get the path. But I think it has to break where this 3-14 matchup, it has to be the upset. Mm. So it's Baylor, USCB. Do you have the upset?
I don't. I love Baylor and what they can do. I think they can kind of speed you up a little bit. And I think with their defense, just all in all, even though it's not numbers wise, you're like looking at it, it's not, you know, just right there in your face. Like they still allow 70 points a game, but they can speed you up a little bit more than you probably feel more comfortable doing. And so I'm going to go with Baylor. I just trust them and their defense. It's just all about can their offense, you know, contribute enough and hit and knock down shots to make them win big games. But I think against small opponents, teams that can speed up, I think Baylor wins this.
Yeah, and I keep calling them USCB and it's UCSB. So, sorry. Yeah, I have Baylor here too. 7-10, Missouri, Utah State. Boy, Utah, it's going to be an interesting one here.
I like Missouri, but looking at the lines, like Utah State's already favored by 1.5. They are the better team. Missouri has been playing really good as of late. They kind of found themselves, you know, towards the end of the season. They were not good throughout early on and midway. They were okay, but they've kind of found themselves. But I still like Utah State. I'm going to go with Utah State.
I like it. I picked Utah State in every bracket. 215 Arizona Princeton. Getting some Princeton buzz. The old school offense is back. Apparently, they have a big man who is a potential NBA prospect. Oh, surprise. Hmm. Can they hang with Arizona?
No, I love Arizona.
Zero. Oh, love.
0.0.
You Jeff. Love Arizona.
I do. I love Arizona.
Interesting. Okay. So let's get into the second round here. We've got Bama versus West Virginia. So it's Bama. A trap game. Oh, okay, trap not game. Trap game.
Bama.
I do think West Virginia could beat Bama, but I ultimately have Bama here too. Now you've got Charleston versus Virginia. Virginia sneak into the Sweet 16, or?
They have a chance, but not in my bracket. I have College of Charleston. I'm going with a double upset College of Charleston.
This is what we talk about path.
Yeah.
Bama gets through West Virginia. They're walking into the Elite Eight, right? Mm. Now you got Creighton Baylor 6-3 matchup.
As I told you, I don't like Creighton, so I'm going to go with Baylor.
Baylor now 10-2. You love Arizona. Should I just pin them in?
You should.
I think Utah State can beat them.
Every team can beat every team in the second round, 100%. I just don't. I trust the team that has showed up to me all year long in Arizona.
Yeah, I think it's totally fair. And I know I'm going to be wrong, but I have Baylor in my Elite Eight against Bama.
Wow.
And the only reason I think that gets there is if Utah State can pull this off.
Okay.
Now, can Baylor beat Arizona straight up? Yeah, I think so. I think their guards are just that good. Or a lot better than what Arizona's are. But Utah State, I love their coach. I love the way they play. It's super analytical, 4 out, 1 in, 5 out. And the weakness for Arizona, they can't defend. Well, they can defend okay. I shouldn't say they can't defend. But this is, if Utah State gets by Missouri, that's the if.
Yeah.
Arizona blows out Missouri. No problem.
Hmm.
I think Utah State could give Arizona trouble. Arizona almost lost the Maui Invitational to Creighton, who plays exactly like Utah State.
Yeah.
So I do think it's a trap game, and I'm very interested in it. I'm just praying that Utah State can get by Missouri, because Utah State is short, or not short as in stature, as in they don't play a lot of players. But they have a nice point guard in Ashworth. They all can shoot. They've got a shooter named Funk. Like, there's multiple Funks in this. In this madness that are 3-point shooters, like, you can't, like, there's like 4 of them. There's like 4 Funks. Yeah. So I don't know if I have to bleep that out if that sounded bad. But anyways, the Sweet 16, Bama Charleston.
Going Bama. They have the easiest path. no matter what, even if they play Virginia, I feel like they can, like, they're going to just light up Virginia if they do have to play them. So no matter what, I think that this Bama's road to the Final Four is pretty easy, especially to the Elite Eight.
If they can get by West Virginia. Yeah. Baylor, Arizona.
I like my opinion. Okay. I like Arizona. Obviously, I think that they're both going to want to play fast, right?
Yeah.
But I just think that Arizona is the better team in the end. I think it's going to be an up and down game. And I think with that, it's not really as much in the half court. And I think that's really what Baylor, you know, does. They'll lock you down kind of in the half court. But if you're running back and forth, there's not as much defense being played. And I think that's how Arizona wants to do it.
Gotcha. Now, Bama, Arizona.
I like Bama. They played the best all year. They have the best shooting. Bama can lose to anybody if they just get cold. But if they are not cold, if they're semi-warm, if they're lukewarm, they're going to beat most teams in this tournament.
So that means two. Here's your eight of your Sweet 16. I probably won't ask for the rest, but you've got Alabama, Charleston, Baylor, Arizona, Kansas, UConn, Gonzaga, UCLA. So you have one team that is below a four seed making the Sweet 16 out of here, 12 seed Charleston.
Yeah.
Your matchups in the Elite Eight, Bama, Arizona, that's 1-2. In the West, you've got UConn, Gonzaga, that's 4-3. And you've got Bama and UConn, the Final Four. Who would be rounding out your other two for your Final Four?
Yeah, so I actually have, going back a little bit, we'll go to the Sweet 16 a little bit. I have Memphis upsetting Purdue.
Oh,
having Duke beating Tennessee because Tennessee's trash. I see that as a Memphis Duke matchup. And then on the bottom, I do have Providence as one of my teams that gives two rounds upsets. Wow. Then I have Marquette knocking them off. And then it's Marquette Duke. And I trust Duke. They're playing the best basketball right now. I am obviously a homer, but I see what I see, right? I've only watched Duke really probably for the last month and a half or so.
Yeah.
And they've started, you know, obviously I've saw them throughout the season, but they really kind of turned it on. The other one, it's a little bit more clear than anything else, but I do have Indiana coming to face Houston. I have Houston beating Indiana. Okay. I think Indiana's playing good right now. And then on the bottom, I have no clue how to come out of that. I don't even remember. I didn't write that part down, but I do have Texas coming out. Weirdly enough, Colgate to cover in the first round. So that's one of my plays. Okay. I have Colgate to cover against Texas, but I do have Texas coming out to play in Houston and Texas knocking off Houston to go to the Final Four. So I have Texas and Bama, Duke and UConn.
Wow. I like that one. I can say this because Brandon's episode's already out. Brandon has the exact same upset.
Really?
And he has Memphis Purdue.
Okay.
And he does have the same matchup, Memphis Duke.
Wow.
And he put forward Duke. So I'm proud of him for doing that.
Smart.
But everybody's just off Purdue. It's interesting. Let's talk a little bit about the champs, which we're talking about Purdue because we have talked about path a little bit. Obviously, the path, like to me, last year, I just ignored that last year with Kansas. I didn't love the team. Everything about them statistically and eye test said that, yeah, you should take them. And I just didn't because I ignored the path. Now, they almost lost second round to Creighton anyways. But after that, it was just a cakewalk into the final. So obviously you have to look at I would say the most important thing is obviously, is the team good or not? Are they consistent? Yeah. And the path which they could walk down. To you, like what is there a team, a couple teams have stuck out to you that you really like their path based on a couple upsets that could happen within the region? Or is there just like, is there a sense that you have for a team that you like? You may not love the team, but the path you just can't ignore. Like for me, Houston is that team. Like the path for Houston is simple, especially if I'm getting a popular Drake upset over Miami pick. Then they're playing Indiana. Houston's got Indiana. And then it's just Texas. We know how Texas is. Could they lose to Penn State, Texas A&M? You bet. Could they lose to Xavier? You bet. The thing is, like, we just don't know about Marcus Sasser for Houston. Is he going to be there with that groin pull? How long is that going to take? Is he going to be 100%? Is he going to be 80%? Is he going to be 50%? So they could lose second round, but like, is there teams like that pathwise that you like that you have noticed?
Yeah. So I said earlier, Bama was an easy one, right? That was who I thought would be the easiest path in the tournament. Then you talked about Houston. I do like that Houston. The other thing is that I have Iowa over Auburn, even though it is in Birmingham. But you're talking about Houston having to go play Auburn in their home state, like right there where all the fans are going to be crazy. I don't know of many Houston fans that are going to be traveling that far where it's going to matter that much. So you're playing pretty much a road game for Houston being the number one overall, one of the number one overall seeds. I think that is tougher than people give it credit for, but I don't think that Auburn or Iowa team are very good personally. So I think that their path is good. The other team I do like, and this is, it is a homer, but it's not because of it being a homer. I just think that Duke over Oral Roberts is a tougher game than Duke over Tennessee. And so I think their path is fairly easy. And then Duke has size. So Duke has enough size where they have a stretch big that could give Zach Edey trouble. But they also have size where they could put those big goobers in front of Zach Edey to give him trouble and foul him and make his life, you know, pretty tough if they had to play Purdue. If they play Memphis, I think they match up, you know, good with them. I think it's, you know, going to be up and down game. I just think that Duke has a fairly easy path to the Elite Eight. And then you're talking about having to beat one of these teams, whether it's, you know, Kentucky, Providence, Kansas State, Michigan State, USC, Marquette. I think knocking off one of those teams is very, very doable. So I think Duke having a fairly easy path is the whole reason I have them going to the Final Four. It's not because I love Duke. I think they're playing the best basketball they played all year long, but the path that they have, it just doesn't seem like it's too hard.
Yeah. I'm going to throw extra because I always do these sheets, like just having a bunch of criteria. There's, I think, 11 things that I kind of tally and keep up with. And it kind of shows you who, you know, statistically are probably the stronger teams, which can actually show some biases, I think. And when you're looking at rankings, I think there's definitely biases to certain teams. Like the West Coast, for some reason, I think it's a little over biased than what it actually is. And that kind of comes through with these sheets here. So I have a couple teams at the top. I'll give you the top two teams. And one hits 10 out of 11. The other one hits 9 out of 11. So if you're looking at it, really strong teams. UCLA and Arizona. Now, UCLA, obviously, injury Jalen Clark. They're completely different now. Arizona, big and plotting. When was the last time you saw a big and plotting team? Or not plotting, I should say, but big focused, right? Mm-hmm. When is the last time a team that won with a true center like that, you know, without the guard play with it? Now, they have a handful of guards that are good, but are they consistent enough? Do you trust them? I don't necessarily trust Kirk Risa. I don't trust Courtney Ramey at all. I like Henderson Jr. just because he went to Briarcrest here in Memphis. but that's just a personal bias, right? Like I like Tabellis, but him and Ballo together, like it's kind of like the Gonzaga effect, right? That's where that coach came from. Gonzaga effect. They're going to be good and they could go far, but do I trust them to actually win? That's kind of where I'm at with those top two. The next that are in line here have 8 of the 11. It's Houston, Purdue, St. Mary's, Gonzaga, and Xavier. So it just shows a West Coast bias to me, right? Like that's probably schedule related. St. Mary's, Gonzaga, UCLA, Arizona. 4 of the top 6. I've watched college basketball. I don't see that personally, right? And then there's other weird things too. Like they're good overall. but all of these teams have one thing that they're really bad at, right? And so when I kind of fine tune it down past that, you get into like who's actually the strongest. And it really comes down to four teams. It's Houston, Bama, UConn, and Texas. Those would be my strongest. And then teams that are on the outside of that, Kansas, UCLA, and Creighton.
Creighton.
I know you don't like that, but Creighton is actually underseeded for what they are. Houston and Bama's path related. UConn versus Kansas is a great matchup. I mean, Bama, Texas, that seems like an inevitable matchup in the Elite Eight, right? And those are two of my top four teams that I would pick to win an NCAA championship. And they're going to knock each other off. They're going to knock one of the other off.
Bama and Texas, they're across from each other.
I'm sorry, Houston and Texas. Oh, if I said Bama, I'm sorry. I meant Houston. They're going to knock one of each other off. UConn, Kansas. One of them's going to knock the other one off. And then you still got to go through UCLA, who still hits all this stuff. So it is Bama to me. Like the path for Bama, they don't really have any landmines where they're running up into other super tough, difficult teams, which is why I think Baylor could potentially be that landmine. Because since the tournament, or since the committee has started ranking the number ones, the number one overall seed has only won like four times out of like 15 to 20 years. Bama's the number one overall seed. And since, and in the final AP poll, the number one team has only won it like three or four times in however many years. Houston was the final ranked number one. So, I mean, this is going against a little bit of history here, Bama and Houston. But do you trust UConn and Texas? That's the thing. And I don't love their path because they have to face the other ones. So the only one for me is basically Bama. Has basically been in my final or has won my bracket in almost every single one. I think I've had maybe one where Baylor upset them to make the final four. But I just like, who would be, I guess, championship no matter what for you? Is it Bama? Is there anybody else you feel good about? Like, who is like, you're not afraid about? You're not scared that they're going to screw you over early, I guess I should say.
Yeah, I'd say Bama has to be that. Everybody else, honestly, that's the difference of why it's so open is because, like you said earlier, it's not about the first set of games. It's really the middle of it where these other teams aren't as far different as, you know, people might seem. Like Bama is not far from Arizona. Purdue is not far from a Memphis, like y'all talked about in the previous episode. Like these teams are much closer due to matchups, but also coaching and different aspects. Like these teams are much closer top to bottom. You know, I say the top 20 and maybe top 25, top 30. I think that that's why there's been so much movement, just in general of the top 25 this year. Teams have fallen in and out of the top 25. And kind of hovered in the middle a lot of the year because of, you know, tough schedules and honestly, and being in good, good conferences. So I'm excited about what's going to happen with these teams. I think that Bama is the one I don't worry about as much. They'll be the one that ends up losing probably second round. Like that's how it always happens, right?
Yep. West Virginia is going to be the one that knocks them off and all of it screwed up.
Yeah. I have a question though about time, right? So when you're looking at matchups, do you look at the time of the game? So for example, like West Virginia and Maryland leads off the tournament, for example, at 11:15 Central Standard Time on Thursday. Like, do you look at that in a matchup compared to if you're looking at use Duke, for example, they play a normal 6 o'clock game on CBS. Like that's going to be a heavily televised game, but it's not the same as opening up the weekend on an early 11 o'clock start.
Yeah, I think I look more at travel, how far it is and how close the games are together, right? Like is Utah State in Orlando? I thought I wrote that down somewhere. Maybe I didn't, but
Utah State.
Yeah, like Utah State, Missouri. Is that game in Orlando or is it Sacramento?
South region.
I thought it was Orlando, but I could be wrong about that.
Sacramento.
It is Sacramento. Okay. See, there's one where I saw where they're in Orlando and it's a West Coast team. I'd have to find that somewhere. I can't find it right now. But anyways, that's something that I would look at is they play early, right? Like they play at the 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock thing, but they got to travel across the country. So their body clock is at 10 or 11 a.m.
San Diego State.
Okay. Maybe that's what it is. San Diego State. Like the body clock for San Diego State having to play Charleston, Orlando, they've got to fly cross country. Like they just finished. Well, I think they played Saturday. They got to fly across the country, adjust their body clock, and then play Thursday morning at
Thursday at 2 o'clock.
Okay. So for them, body wise, it's like 11 a.m.
Actually, that's would that be three? So they'd be playing body clock, you know, closer to, you know, with 11 or noon.
Yeah.
So it's still an early game for them, their body clocks. Yes.
Right. And Charleston just has to fly straight down, right? It's normal for them. There's no change for them. That's the only kind of thing I look at. Now, San Diego State is just defense anyways, right? Mm-hmm. But if there is a correlation with travel and like they're shooting, like I think Creighton has to travel to Denver
to
play NC State. Now they're in the same boat, but then they get Baylor in the second round, like altitude, one day in between, having to play a bunch of guards again after having played a bunch of guards with NC State. Like, I think those are things that if you're really going to dive into it, you have to consider. So that's the kind of stuff I look towards more instead of time. I look at, I guess, travel, like just a bad spot. Like UConn being in Albany is a great spot for them for the first two rounds, right? But then they have to go and fly out to, I believe it's Vegas to play Kansas if they win that. So like it's a good spot for them. Like they're a virtual lock for me to the Sweet 16, but then you got to travel all the way out to Vegas. Now I know you have a couple of days, but you got to go all the way out to Vegas from being on the East Coast. Like that's the kind of stuff I look for. That more interests me betting wise anyway. So.
Yeah. Hey, one on that, I will say, it looks like Michigan State and USC are a little bit, you know, they're a little different. They play in Columbus. And so that might be, you know, something that you look at as well. And so I like the Michigan State there. Right. But I just think that you are at USC having to travel across the country a little bit. I guess you're only going two time zones, but still that's a good amount.
It's still like the not jet lag, but you still got to get there, right?
Yeah, and that's the 11 o'clock game. That's the only reason I brought it up. It's the 11 o'clock game for a USC team. That's their body clock is saying probably what, maybe 9, maybe 10. Yeah. Like they're a little bit earlier than the 11 o'clock start that we're going to get.
Yeah, and it's a rhythm team. Like it's a team that doesn't shoot the ball well, where the guards have to be in a rhythm because they're just so choppy. And so now you're starting even earlier. You're not going to be in a rhythm. You're going to be barely awake for these college kids. Yeah. It just can be a rough start. So like, for example, with that, I'm looking at first half.
Okay.
Like I'm with it on first half for Michigan State all the way. I mean, being at a spread, it should be basically even. So I like Michigan State first half. They may not win the game, but Michigan State is a good 3-point shooting team. USC can guard the rim really well. Michigan State is terrible around the basket. So give or take there, what's going to hold up, the defense early, or is USC or is Michigan State going to hit a couple threes, you know, like that? I would like Michigan State in the first half if I were looking at anything, which maybe kind of leads us into, maybe we should have our own episode. We got, you know, with Brandon doing two regions and with Daniel doing two regions, talking about champs and upset. Maybe we should have an episode before the day of the tournament where we're talking gambling stuff, just to look at some lines, what we think, situational stuff. Maybe we might do that. We'll see. I guess I'll talk with you afterwards if you're interested or if anybody else would be interested in joining us for that to give us their thoughts. But anything else about the tournament that you want to hit on before we wrap up? I should probably let you go eat lunch.
Nothing I honestly see. I'm always excited about it. I think that it is very important to kind of look at some of these lines and numbers if you are a betting gambling person. If you want to follow at Bet the Lead, we have a Discord channel. We're putting out a lot of our plays. I want to say since we've been doing it as of recently, I've been playing much longer, but we're 16-9 right now. So a decent run so far, just for the last good amount of games that we've done. And so being, you know, up, what was that, 7 on 25 games that we've predicted, I think it's a good number. So we're going to be keep putting out stuff there. So go follow us at Bet the Lead on Twitter and just go to the Discord channel and hang out. The other thing I will say is unders in the first half are big. And so if you are a betting person, unders on the first half are kind of cool, because usually takes them a while to get going. And then the second half they take off. So if you're looking at those, look at the unders on the first half.
Yeah. Especially on this first four.
Yes.
I get a great start to my tournament every year with the first four starting tomorrow. So Daniel, thanks for joining us, man, on Free Basketball. Nice to be somewhat back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We back, baby.
Starting to feel like Zaire Williams out of the rotation.
Yeah, I'm coming. You know, got to get my head clear. I'm good.
Send you down to the G League? No. But make sure you're following Grizz 901 for all the live shows. The Grizzlies, you know, coming up. Normally, NBA. It's all NBA, right? But this is just a special time of year, so special couple of episodes. So it's a nice little break to get over what's going on with the Grizzlies before we get into the tournament. So this is a nice little mental break, hopefully, for everyone, so we can get geared up for a Grizzlies playoff run. So stay tuned to the feed. Pay attention to Grizz 901 podcast. No bluffing. Everyone on the network, make sure you're reading the articles. They're doing great over there. And just like, share, rate, tell your friends. Like Cody would say, that Daniel would say, go steal your grandmother's phone. So Cody's not here, so I had to say that because you knew he wanted to. That was in memory of Cody. So we'll be back next week, or maybe have another episode doing a gambling thing. We'll see. But we'll see you back next week with Cody. Everyone have a good week and enjoy your March Madness.